Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. In this episode, I want to give a special shout out to listeners Rachel Riggs and Caroline Dwyer. These two have spent the last several weeks going through all of the transcripts of these two interviews that you're about to hear, all of the audio. They have organized it, they have edited it, and put everything together in a way that makes sense. All of the editing of the interview on this episode was done by these two. So big shout out to them, and thank you so much for their help. All you're really going to hear from me today is just a little bit of prompting between segments of this episode, so you know what you're about to hear and some things that you should probably be listening for. So with that being said, let me explain to you what we're about to hear. This is from, of course, the Adnan Syed case. And this episode is in response to something that the prosecutor said in one of their final episodes about essentially the crux of the state's case against Adnan Syed. They made the point that it's not Jay's second interview, which we know is riddled with problems, that is the problem for Adnan. But the problem is that Jay's first interview and Jen's interview line up together, and that's the big problem. Now, something I want to say before we do this. What we're doing here is not an attempt to spike the ball on Brett and Alice or insult them or anything else. I've said my piece. I've gone through the facts of the case after they said that they had went through the facts of the case. We checked their work. We made sure things were accurate, gave our own analysis, and everyone is free to believe whatever they want to believe. This process of putting this together is part of being objective. And the reason I'm taking these few minutes to kind of explain this process is because I think that oftentimes people think that objective means agree. Like you can only be objective if you're hearing what someone else is saying and you agree with them. But that's not the case. What objectivity really is what we're doing here. Brett and Alice made a statement on their podcast, stated as fact. And again, I'll remind you that they ended their series by telling you that they are the final word. No one should talk about this case anymore, because they have done such an exhaustive job of bringing just the facts. So in order to be objective, when they presented a fact to me that I didn't agree with, and I don't mean that I didn't agree with their conclusion, I don't agree that they accurately stated this fact. In order to be objective, I wanted to go back through the data and assess whether that statement is accurate or not. And I'll leave you to make that decision for yourself. But this little clip right here, which you heard in one of our episodes previously, is a statement they made that I wanted to objectively fact check.
And I think if you want to criticize Christina Gutierrez for not diving into this more, I think you have to remember she was well aware that her biggest problem is Jen and Jay's first statement. So it does not help her as much as people want to focus on it now. It doesn't help her as much at trial to knock this second statement. All it really shows is that Jay is willing to shift his story to make the police happy, but she really has to get it, the first statement by Jay and the statement by Jen.
So that's the statement of fact that we're dealing with, that the real problem for Adnan was Jay's first statement and Jen's statement. So what we're going to do in this episode is put those two statements side by side. Caroline and Rachel have done an amazing job of taking every little element of the story that they both told and putting them side by side so you can hear exactly what they both said and you can decide whether or not they line up together. Just a little bit of formatting information before we get started. This is broken down into several key elements, and that's where I'll come in and explain a little bit about what you're going to hear between each one. And then you're going to hear beeps. Those beeps are there just to let you know that's where the editing is between something Jay said and something Jen said. So you'll hear Jen explain something, you'll hear a beep, and then you'll hear Jay explain that same thing in his way. So that's what the beeps are. And with that being said, I think we can go ahead and move forward and get right into this episode. The first key point we're going to be talking about is Adnan asking Jay to do him a favor. Some things you want to be listening for during this section and some questions you want to be asking yourself are, when does Jay say he learned Adnan was planning to kill Haman Lee? Compared to when does Jen say that Jay learned about this? What time does Jay wake up and leave his house? When did Jen say she called Jay from work, and where does she call him from?
This is a taped interview of Jennifer Louise Pusateri, white female, 18. Date of birth is... Today's date is the 27th of February. It's approximately 4:15 in the afternoon. This is a taped interview of J.W. Wilds. Mr. Wilds is a black male, 19 years of age. Jennifer, this office is currently investigating a homicide, and the victim's name is Haman Lee. She was found missing on the 13th of January. What, if anything, can you tell me about this event?
Okay. All I heard about this event was from an individual named Jay. Jay told me around 8 o'clock that evening that Adma, his ex-boyfriend, had killed her.
Mr. Wilds, this office is currently investigating a homicide that occurred on the 13th of January, 1999, involving Hay Lee.
Yeah.
What, if anything, can you tell me about that?
On the evening of 1/12/99,
your birthday is... Yes. January 12th, right?
Yes, on my birthday. On the evening of my birthday, Adnan had called me and we chatted. We made plans for the next day. That morning, he called me. We made a ride. We were going to the mall. He asked me if I could do him a favor.
He told me that he was talking to Adnan a couple days before any of this happened. And from what I understand, he was talking to Adnan a couple days before this happened. And Adnan asked Jay if he knew anywhere to put a body up. And Jay told Adnan and told me that he said, no, he wouldn't know nowhere to put a body like that.
Can you recall what time he called your hands up?
Jay? A little after 10, 10:45, 10:45. That's when I woke up. I showered, so it was about an hour before I left. I left the house on the way to the mall. He asked me if I could do him a favor.
Where do you work?
The Heartlands.
Where is that located?
In Ellicott City, off of North Rogers Avenue.
And what do you do there?
I lifeguard.
Okay.
The retirement center. And I worked there from 9 until 12. And then from there, I called Jay and talked to him and asked him if he wanted to come hang out at my house. He wanted me to swing by and pick him up or whatever. And he told me, sure, that's fine, you can come and get me. And then somehow, maybe right then and there, Jay told me that he had a ride. Either right then and there he told me, or some other time, he got in touch with me to let me know that I did not need to come and get him. He had a way to my house.
Where did you call Jay? Does Jay have a pager?
No, I believe I called Jay at his house.
And what time was that?
I want to say between 10 and 12. Sometime between 10 and 12.
You picked you up, and where do you get from that point?
We headed towards Westview Mall. We did a little shopping together. On the way, I was taking him to school to go back to class. On the way to school, he had asked me if I could pick him up from... And he didn't say where, he just asked me if I could pick him up.
If prior to dropping Adnan off at school, does he have a conversation with you about what he's going to do that day? Or
he tells me he's going to kill Hay. I don't believe him. I mean...
The conversation where Adnan tells you he's going to kill, hey, where does that conversation take place?
In his car, it started off, we were talking about girls. Steph's birthday was coming up, you know, we've been together for 2 years, she's great, this, that, and the other. I can't believe what he did to me, broke my heart like that.
When he said he was going to kill her, did he make any mention of how or None when he was going to kill her or anything like that?
He said today. That's all he said. He didn't say how, when, where.
Did you believe him during this conversation?
Not in the context of the conversation. It didn't. No.
Okay. And you were talking about Haley. Yeah. So when he indicates that he's going to kill her.
It was Haley that we're talking about, yeah.
Okay.
What time did you drop him off back to school?
It's about lunchtime, so about 12:30.
When you take him back up to school, which school are you referring to?
Oh, I'm sorry, Woodlawn High.
And where do you drop him off at the school?
In the rear.
Then what do you do?
Go to Mark Pusateri's house.
This next section is all about the waiting game. Some things you should be listening for. Who gets to Jen's house first, Jay or Jen? What time does Jen get home, and what time does she say Jay arrived? What does Jen say Jay told her he was doing with Adnan that morning? Did the calls to Jay come to the cell phone or Jen's house landline? And is it reasonable to assume it would be normal for Jay to receive calls on Jen's landline?
So I want to say I got home probably between 12:30 and 1. And then I want to say that Jay got there probably between 1 and 1:30. Maybe as late as 2, but I don't think it was that late. I think it was more around 1:30 time. So Jay gets there around 1:30, and we play video games, hang out.
You dropped him back off at school. You said sometime around 12:30 in the rear of school.
Mm-hmm.
You go back over to Mark Pusateri's house.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to Jay, around, I think that I talked to Jay before he came to my house around 1:30 from my house. I think that I talked to him before, you know, before he came to my house, and he told me he was downtown with Adnan. This was before 1:30. Yeah.
When you arrive at Mark's house, what do you do?
Sit down, video game out.
Who was home at that time?
Just me and Mark.
Do you recall what time you arrived at the house?
No, not exactly. I know a little while. I can see your name in the house.
And who was his sister?
Jen.
I'm sorry?
Jen Pusateri.
So Jay gets there around 1:30, and we play video games, hang out. Jay says he's waiting for a phone call. And he didn't say who from.
So they're playing video games. It's you, Mark, and Jen in the house.
Yes.
Are there any other people or adults in the house?
No.
What happens throughout the afternoon?
I sit and play a waiting game. You know, he's like, I'm going to call you. I need a ride.
Because I remember Jay got to my house and he said he was waiting. He set the phone down on the coffee table and he said, I'm waiting for a phone call. And I was like, you know, who's going to call you? What's, you know, whose cell phone's that or whatever? He's like, it's just a cell phone. He was like, and I'm supposed to get a call around 3:30. And I said, okay. And he said, that's when I'm leaving, is around 3:30 when I get the phone call.
Going back to when you drop him off, does he give you a time that he's going to call you?
He told me about 3 o'clock.
Jay hung out the house and waited for the phone to ring. I guess between 3:30 and 4, a phone call came in. And I don't know whether it was on my phone or the cell phone that Jay had, but a phone call came in. Jay talked on the phone, and then I want to say got off the phone, and then another phone call came in, either on my phone or Jay's phone, and it was for Jay. And Jay talks on the phone to whoever, and then Jay left. I don't know exactly the time, I'd say anywhere between 3:30 and 4:15. And then I left my house between 4:15 and 4:30 to go and pick up my parents.
So you're playing this waiting game, waiting for him to give you a call.
Mm-hmm.
Does he call you at some point in time?
Yeah.
What time does he call you?
Time I remember talking to him, like actually having a conversation with him, was about 3:40 something.
Then Jay left my house probably around 3:34, 4:15. Well, after 3:45, between 3:45 and 4:15.
About 3 o'clock. So you're waiting around. He finally calls about 3:40.
Yeah. All right. Those first two key points are just kind of warming up the ears. This is where things really start to fall apart in the two stories. Things to listen for. Where is the trunk pop? Where does Jen say Jay took Adnan after the murder? Is it possible for the timing of all of these events to actually work out? These are things that we covered throughout the season, so just keep those in the back of your mind. And lastly, really pay attention to the fact that Jay says he was at home until 6:45, then he goes to pick up Adnan at track practice and they go to McDonald's. But Jen says that they got the confusing pick me up at the park message straightened out between 6:30 and 7:30. And at that time, Adnan answered the phone. But this is also supposed to be the call that came while Jay and Adnan were digging in Lincoln Park. So here it is. Give it a listen.
You leave at 3:30 to...
I leave at 4:30.
4:30 to finish up your routine by...
Going to pick my parents up from there.
You leave, pick up your father, pick up your mother. You eventually come home. You eat dinner. And you're supposed to meet Jay later on in the evening.
Right.
You do meet up with Jen.
Right.
Then what do? I go and pick him up from a place in the city where I went to pick him up from off of Emerson Avenue at a strip, and he pops the trunk open and...
So you arrive 20 minutes later at this location on Edmondson Avenue. Then what happened?
I followed him out into...
You get out of your car when you get on Edmondson Avenue and have any conversations with
him? He said, Adnan showed me her body and asked me if I would help him bury her body. And I said, well, what did you do? Did you help him? Do you know where the body is? No, I just took him to someplace in the city and I dropped him off. I took him to a, then I went down, picked him up from a different place in the city, and then I don't remember where he said they went.
When he says he dropped him off somewhere in the city or picked him up, did he say whether or not he was in the four-door tan vehicle or which car that he was driving, or did he ask?
I just assumed that he was in the car that he brought to the house, which I'm assuming was Adnan's car. Because I asked him, I was like, I think that her body was put in his car. Because I asked him about Hay's car. I said, how did he do this? When was this done? And he didn't know when.
So you're standing there, he pops a trunk. Does he use a key to get into the trunk, or does he use the inside latch?
He uses a trunk release.
He uses a key. After he shows you her body in the trunk and tells you that he finally did it, then what happened?
We argued for about 5 minutes out in the corner. And we started drawing attention, arguing. So he's like, just get in the car and follow me. And so I get in the car and I follow him, and we end up at the 70 parking lot off of, Complain. We're 70 in.
Okay. Yeah. When he made reference to going down into the city, he said he dropped him off at some house and he had to pick him back up.
Yeah.
Did he say whose house that he took him to?
No. He did say to a different broad's house. He said a different chick's house. Some chick's house.
Did he say when he dropped him off?
No. No times.
After he dropped him off, did he wait outside for him or have to go back?
Oh, he came back. He had to go back because, yeah, he had to go back. I think. Yeah, because I think he left and had to go back.
All this is happening between the time he left your house around 3:45 and 4:15, and the next time you see him at 8 o'clock. All this is taking place within a time span?
I think so.
Then what happened?
He gets back in the car with him.
What do you do with her car?
He leaves it.
Then what happened?
we went on the Rock the L back in the woods, back at the state park.
Rock the L, what is that?
Smoking blunt.
Back in the state park, where exactly are you referring to?
It's the cliff down off of River Road.
Okay, how long are you guys back at the cliff?
Probably like 30 minutes.
Okay, so you guys go down to the cliff, smoke blunt. Then what do you guys do?
I took him back to school.
You leave third car at the park and ride?
Yeah.
What time do you take him back to school?
I don't recall the sun was going down. Track practice. If I had to guess, probably like 4:30.
I think Jay paged me because we were supposed to be hanging out later on that night. So I believe that Jay paged me, or either I called him, or one way or another, he left a message for me on my pager telling me where to pick him up, which was originally Gilston Park, around between 7 and 8. However, the message was very confusing, so I called Jay back. I did not get to talk to Jay at this time. At that time, Adnan answered the phone and said Jay would call me when he wanted me to come and get him.
Hey, what happens after you drop him off at school? Is there come a point in time where you get back to the school and pick him up?
Yeah.
How do you know what time to get back?
He called me on the cell phone again.
Do you recall what time he called you?
Mm-hmm. Maybe like 6:45, something like that.
What time did you call him back to get the message straight down?
I guess I'd say between 6:30 and 7:30.
When he calls you at 6:45, where exactly are you?
I think I was at my home.
You're at home?
Yeah.
So you leave home, you go back over to school and pick them up?
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do?
He tells me to take them back to the Route 70 parking lot.
Okay, when you take them back there, is the car still there?
Yes.
Then what do you do?
No, wait. Before that happened, we were eating, and a police officer called him on the phone. And then we cut the meal short. He's like, we got to go back to the parking lot.
When a police officer called him on the phone, do you recall what time that was?
No, I don't. But I remember it. I remember because he had two bags. Yes, no, yes, no.
What happened after the conversation with the officer?
He got kind of frantic. And we had to go back and get the car, and we went back and got the car, and then we went back to my house. I gave him a shovel, gave him a pick.
The conversation with the officer, how long does that take place?
It was pretty long, about 15 minutes.
Okay, after the conversation, you guys leave McDonald's.
Go to my house. And he asked me for a pick, shovel. I get mom and shit.
So you finally got the message straight now.
Right. That Jay would call me when he was ready to be picked up. Then I guess I was sitting at the house and just waiting because, like, I was supposed to be over my friend Christy's house because originally the plans were around 7:30 or 7 or whatever with Jay. And instead I just sat at the house and waited a little bit longer for the page to go and get him, or the call to my house to go and get him.
He said, take him back to the parking ride. Took him back to the parking ride. He told me to follow him. Drove me all around West Bubbles Park. Got back to Lincoln Park. He said, I pulled up next to him. He was like, go park up around the corner. I'll be up there in a second. I went around the corner, wow, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
This next section is about where did Adnan bury the body? This is one of the strangest contradictions in the two stories. Jay, who has up until this point not provided a whole lot of information, suddenly provides a detailed narrative of the burial and burial site. Nothing about this tracks with the rest of his story. Meanwhile, Jen, who has been full of details, says that Jay told her he doesn't know where Haman Lee is buried. She actually doubles down on this by saying that if they knew where her body was buried, she and Jay would have reported it to the police. The reason that they didn't report it was because they didn't think they had enough information. What to listen for here is pretty basic. What does Jen say when the detectives ask if Jay knows where Haman Lee was buried, and what does Jay say? Listen for yourself.
And I might have asked him, you know, again, what his involvement was, if he knew where the body was. I was like, yo, where'd he bury the body? Where would he have buried the body? And Jay said, I don't know where he took the body, but he used my shovel, or shovels. I don't know whether it was one or two.
What does he say to you?
He said she was heavy, and then he starts to throw up, and then it's like, you gotta take me back there. I gotta bury it. And then we argue for about 5 minutes, and we go back. We park the car at this little, I don't know, pull off the side of the road. In a walkway, in a path, and I went back there, and she's kind of like laying against the wall. I mean, he asked me to help him dig, and we argued some more. And then I started digging a hole. And
who started digging a hole?
Adnan started digging, and threw up once more, and he finished the hole, and it was hay in there, sage perch.
Okay. Describe to me, when you're walking back, what the geographical area looks like. So there was a tree there or something?
It's like a wash area from a riverbed or something.
Okay.
And there's a log with a fallen over tree, and there's snow on the ground. And it's like a whole bunch of old brush around it.
At any time from the 13th up, so you see this news report, has Jay made any reference that they haven't found her body, or he knew exactly where her body was?
No, the complete, he never told me anything about knowing where her body was. I was like, because, like, if he would have known where her body was that night, then, well, he would have told me where her body was that night, and we could have came down here and told you guys where the body was. You know, we knew that somebody had been killed and the body was here. We would have probably came down and said it right then and there. But we didn't think that we had enough information that was gonna, you know, like, not, we didn't want to be linked to it in any way whatsoever.
Adnan is digging a hole. Describe for me how deep a hole he digs.
Not that deep. Maybe like shin deep.
You say shin deep, about 2 feet?
No. Maybe a foot.
Where is Haley's body when he's digging the hole?
Right next to where he's digging.
After he's complete digging the hole, then what happened?
Really angry. Over there.
When he puts her body in this shallow grave, describe to me how she is positioned.
She's like her head's facing away from the road. Like her arm kind of like twisted behind her back, and she's kind of like laying on her side.
Is she face up, face down?
Face down.
She's face down. What side is she laying on?
The right, I think.
Her right side?
Yeah.
As he's digging a shallow grave, and can you describe for me what the lighting conditions are? Is it dark out then, or is it just starting to get dark?
Dark. Well, it's been dark for a couple of hours.
Well, how are you guys able to see as you're going back there? You're not digging in the dark.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. No flashlight, nothing like that. It was snow on the ground, so light was refracting off. It wasn't like
see, I'm not sure I've got it.
Well, how was the lighting condition? Was it a full moon? You recall?
I can't recall, but it was enough light. I couldn't read a book or nothing, but I mean, I could count change in my head if I had to.
How long does it take Adnan to dig the grave?
Like half an hour.
And during the digging process, do you assist him at all?
No. Not at all. Sat there, smoked a cigarette on the hole. It's not like, I can believe what happened. I mean,
what happens after he places her in a grave? Does he cover her up?
No, he throws up her. Then he covers her up.
When he covers her up, does he shovel the dirt back on top of her?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
He then left.
I questioned Jay about his involvement, and Jay told me that he had no involvement. All he had done all day with Adnan's car was he needed the car because it was his girlfriend's birthday to go get her a birthday present. That's why he had Adnan's. Well, that's what he told me, he had Adnan's car. Was to get his girlfriend a birthday present. And then I asked him, you know, did you help him? Did you do anything? And he said no.
In this next section, we really want to put to the test, is there a basic story, as Brett and Alice put it? That's their whole claim, that between Jen's statement and Jay's first statement, this basic story emerges. So when you're hearing this, do you notice a basic story, or do you notice two completely different stories? Things to listen for. What does Jay say happened after the burial of Haman Lee? What does Jen say happened? Are they the same? And remember, the official sequence of events here is that on February 27th, Jen is interviewed for the first time, and a couple hours later, Jay is interviewed. So something else to listen for is, are the police pushing back against Jay's inconsistent responses from the story that they had just heard just a couple hours before?
And I guess a little bit after 8, around 8, between 8 and 8:30, I'd say Jay paged me and told me to come pick him up at Westview Mall parking lot in front of Value City. I got to Westview Mall parking lot in front of Value City, probably between 8 and 8:30, like shortly after the page came through. I don't live that far from Westview Mall. I parked underneath the mall was still open at this time. Excuse me. I parked underneath the parking light, one of the lights. Parked underneath there. I probably didn't sit there very long. I don't think I sat there very long. I wouldn't say I sat there for more than 15 minutes waiting for them to get there. They got there, and they were in what I recognize as being the same car that Jay brought to my house earlier that day, which was the brown car had four doors, or the tan car had four doors.
What happened after they pulled
up? Jay got out of the car and got in the passenger seat of my mom's car that I was driving that night. And Adnan said hi to me, said, "Hey, what's up, girl?" And I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And then we left the parking lot, and that's when Jay told me.
During your conversation with Miss Pusateri, what exactly did you tell her?
I didn't give her a whole lot of details. I just told her that Adnan killed Hayden, about how he popped the trunk and showed his body and shit.
So then what happens after he gets back to your
When he gets in the car, he's like, "Okay, put on the seatbelt, let's go." I was like, "All right, let's go." And he says, "Jen, you gotta swear you won't tell nobody what I'm about to tell you." And I was like, "All right." He's like, "But I gotta tell you. I gotta tell somebody. I can't, you know." And I was like, "All right, what's up, babe?" He's like, "Adnan killed Hay." And that's when I was just like, "Whoa, what do you mean Adnan killed Hay? Why, what, how, when, where, you know?" Normal questions I guess that you would ask.
When you asked why, what did he say?
He said that Adnan said that Hay broke his heart.
Did he say anything else?
No.
When you asked him how, what did he say?
Said that he strangled her.
you ask him.
He didn't know when.
What did he say?
Yeah, he said that he strangled her in Best Buy parking lot.
Did he say?
But I don't know how he got to Best Buy parking lot or anything like that. He didn't say which Best Buy. I'm assuming it's the Best Buy on security by around the corner from Woodville.
After you leave
the parking lot?
The parking lot at Westview Shopping Center in front of Value City. Where did you go?
I want to say that we went to Stephanie's house, Jay's girlfriend. I want to say we went there because I think that I remember Jay saying that he wanted to go see Steph. He wanted to go give her a hug and see her and make sure she was okay and everything like that. And kind of like let her know not to talk to Adnan. And it was Stephanie's birthday, so we had to go and see her and give her a birthday hug and kiss or whatever. So I remember taking him there. I take him there, and then I believe on the way to my friend Christy's house.
Did you physically see Stephanie?
Yeah, I sat in the car while Jay got out of the car, and I saw Stephanie open the door. I saw him go in and give her a hug and a kiss. And then he might have been in the house for approximately 5 to 15 minutes.
When he's going up to the house, does he have a birthday present with him?
I don't remember.
What happens after he comes out of the house?
Comes out the house, gets in the car, say, ready to go to Christy's house. He says, I said, and we probably talked a little bit more about Hay and everything that happened. And I might have asked him, you know, again, what his involvement was, if he knew where the body was. I was like, yo, where'd he bury the body? Where would he have buried the body? And Jay said, I don't know where he took the body. But he used my shovel or shovels. I don't know whether it was one or two. And he's like, oh, I know where the shovel or shovels are. And I said, okay, so what do you want me to do? He says, will you take me to the shovels or shovel? And I said, sure. Where are the shovels or shovel? And he said, they are at a mall parking lot. And I was like, well, what mall? And he was like, back at Westview Mall. So we went back to Westview Mall parking lot and we went to the back of the parking lot. And that's where there's some dumpsters back there. And Jay got out the car and walked over towards the dumpsters while I sat in the car to watch and see if there was any other cars coming or whatever. Because you're not really allowed to be like behind the mall parking lot without being suspicious or something. I mean, why would you be back there, you know? So I was trying to keep an eye out for that. And that's what I was doing. Then Jay came back to the car and, He said, I guess we can go to Christy's house now or whatever. So we went to Christy's house, and I say we probably got to Christy's. By this time, it was probably at least 9 o'clock, around 9. Got to Christy's house, hung out there for a couple hours, talked, whatever, hung out. At this point, we did not tell Jeff and Christy anything. Jeff is also lives with Christy there. it's her boyfriend. Actually, you know what? I think I went to Christy's house, and then I think I went to campus that night too. I think it was my friend Mike's birthday on campus at UMBC. I went to campus to see Mike because I remember seeing a lot of my sorority sisters and all of them wanting to know what was wrong with me because they could definitely tell that there was something going on and that I was not my normal self. I had something, you know, else trapped in my mind, which was the fact that I know this information about Adnan and Hay. And that, you know, that bothered me to know that information. So, you know, they were a little leery of the situation as to what was going on in my head, blah, blah, blah. And I did not tell them anything at this point. And then I left school and went to Christy's house. We went to Christy's and hung out there. And while at Christy's house, me and Jay were both very quiet, very preoccupied. We both, you know, like Christy could tell that we were both pretty much, you know, like there's something going on. And, you
let me interrupt for you. You both went to Stephanie's house.
Right.
You stayed there for approximately 15 minutes.
Right.
From there, did you go to Christy's house or did you go to
Christy's? No, I think I went to campus before I went to Christy's house.
And Jay was with you?
Yes, Jay was with me.
How long did you stay at the sorority house?
I want to say we were there maybe about an hour. We didn't stay as long as I wanted to, but that's because we still had to get to Christy's house. I tend to make a lot of plans and have to go a lot of places because I have a lot of friends that like to hang out, I guess. I try to make everybody happy. It was my friend Mike's birthday. He was giving me a hard time about leaving because he was like, I never hang out long enough and blah, blah, blah. But I left anyhow. And after I left there, I went to Christy's house. And Christy she just kind of sat there and talked like normal. She wondered, you know, she had questions. She asked questions.
And what time approximately did you get to Christy's house?
I'd say between 10:30 and 11, probably. All
right. You can continue.
So we get into Christy's house. We sit there and talk with her and her boyfriend. Just about, I don't know what we talked about. Normal daily stuff, I guess. Watch some TV, might have commented on whatever was on TV, maybe. And we sat there for a while. And then Christy, you know, she could tell that there's something wrong somewhere. Like, she could tell that maybe there was something wrong because, like, I wasn't acting like my normal self. And that's because I heard this information and I was very concerned because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether we should go to the cops and tell them straight up right now tonight or whether we should just wait and see what happens like we did now. Now I kind of wish that we just would have left the first minute. But we didn't, because we didn't know any better.
Did you ever have a conversation with either Christy or Jeff concerning the events of the day?
Not until last month. Because Christy's the one that brought me down here.
After you leave,
Well, then we sat at Christy's house. I don't know how long we sat there. I don't know exactly. I don't think it was real, real late, like 1 or 2. I want to say it's probably more around 11:30, 12:30 that we left Christy's. I took Jay home, and then I went home.
Okay, so he parks the car there. He gets all these articles belonging to Haley out of the vehicle.
Yes.
Then what happened?
I dropped myself home, and on the way home, he's like, stop here, stop behind.
He gets in the car with you?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm driving myself home. On our way home, he's like, stop here. We stopped at Westview. And one of the dumpsters behind Westview, we do all the stuff in.
And you say Westview Shopping Center?
The mall, yeah.
What happened after he discards the articles in the dumpsters?
We argued some more with the 7-Eleven and an old girl.
This next section is pretty simple. It's all about the clothing. Where and when does Jay say he threw away his clothes? Where and when does Jen say this happened? What does Detective Lehman think about this? You'll hear him in the background. And also, keep in mind that the day after the murder, January 14th, was where the city of Baltimore was facing the full effects of the ice storm that had rolled in the night before. There are plenty of news stories online. The entire city was shut down. Parked cars were sliding down the street. Everything was covered in ice that day. So just keep that in mind.
Do you recall what Jay was wearing?
Oh. I know he had on some brown boots, some like Timberland color, you know, like the Timberland boots, but they weren't actually Timberland main brand. They were just like the Timberland beige boots. And I want to say he might have been wearing a Dickies outfit, a black Dickies outfit. He wears a lot of Dickies clothes. And what color was his jacket? I think his jacket was like plaid. A plaid embroidered kind of jacket.
Okay, for those of us who don't know what a Dickies outfit is.
Oh, it's
can you describe that?
Like, I guess it's like, it's like black pair of pants that are kind of like, they're not jeans, they're like made out of cotton or like khaki type pants, I guess you'd say, but they're black. And a black button down shirt, short sleeves, all black, I guess.
Do you recall what type of clothing you had on?
I think I had on a pair of tan jeans, work boots, and a plaid boot, like a wool plaid boot.
And where's that clothing today?
I discarded it.
You discarded the clothing?
Yeah.
And sometime during the 14th, on that day, I went to see Jay again at his house. I picked him up, and he had his boots with him, as well as his clothes and jacket that he had on the night before. And he asked me if I would take him to F&M parking lot. And I took him to F&M parking lot, and we drove around the back until we saw a dumpster, which is actually, I think, maybe behind the baby store rather than F&M. We went back to parking lot. We went pretty far to the other end of the shopping center. And Jay threw his clothes along the boots in the dumpster. Got back in the car.
I want to back you up a little bit because I was a little bit confused that when you go to F&M to drop off Jay's clothes, Jay is actually dressed in the same clothing.
Mm-hmm. He had on different clothes the next day.
He had different clothing.
Yeah.
And he had clothing that he had worn the night prior. In a container?
I don't know if it was... I know the boots were... I'm pretty sure the boots were loose. The clothes might have been in the bag, but actually, I'm not sure. All I know is that he took them and threw them in the dumpster.
Okay. And that dumpster is behind F&M?
Well, it's... I don't think it's behind F&M. I think it's actually behind the baby stroller. If you go behind F&M, you just keep going, and then there's a dumpster here on the left. I think it was like a brown, kind of reddish, kind of color dumpster. I think. I don't know.
Sergeant Lytle?
He had his clothing in the bag when he put it in the dumpster. How do you know it was his clothing? He told you this is the clothing. Or did you notice it?
I saw the clothing. I actually saw the jacket.
You looked in the bag. So.
Well, if he had a bag, if it wasn't... It probably was loose if I saw it, rather than being in a bag, maybe.
Okay.
I saw it, and I was like, because the night that I picked him up or whatever, he told me that he was gonna get rid of his boots, at least because he knew that his boots were in Adnan's car, and well, what I think is Adnan's car, and that he didn't want his footprints or anything like that in Adnan's car or anything like that. So he told me that he was going to get rid of the boots.
Where did you discard the clothing?
I put mine in the trash at my house. Get out of the trash.
This next section is another one that's a little bit interesting if you're really listening to it objectively, right? So this is all about where the murder occurred. So it's not only something you should be listening for the differences, but also wondering why there weren't any follow-up questions about this. So on one hand, you're going to hear Jen tell the police that Jay told her where the murder happened. Then, a couple hours later, you're going to hear Jay tell them he doesn't know where the murder happened. So aside from the differences, be thinking about the detective's reaction to that.
During your conversation with Ms. Pusateri, what exactly did you tell her?
I didn't give her a whole lot of detail. I just told her that Adnan killed Hayden and about how he popped the trunk and showed his body and shit.
at 8 o'clock when I talked to Jay, I think, because he told me the entire story of everything that happened during the day. But I don't remember all of it. Like, I remember that he said that Adnan said he did it in Best Buy parking lot.
So when he actually strangles her, this is taking place inside her vehicle. Is that the impression that you got?
Yes.
Did he say where that took place?
No.
I said, how did he do this? You know, when, you know, like, when was this done? And he didn't know when.
What did he say?
Yeah, he said that he strangled her in Best Buy parking lot.
This next section is just about where the car is located. And again, this is pretty simple to listen for. Listen to what Jen says about what Jay knows about the car, and then listen to what Jay says about it.
There's been a lot of publicity lately that we're looking for the car.
Right. We
can't find the car.
Right.
Jay ever mentioned to you about the car?
No.
Describe the location where he parks his car. Do you know what street it's on?
No, it's not on a street. It's like where a bunch of row homes, in the back of a bunch of row homes. Like a parking lot.
You know what area of town is? Is it Baltimore City?
Yeah, it's on the west side of Baltimore City.
When you asked about Hayes' car, what did he say in regards to that?
He said he didn't know. He didn't know where a car was.
The area where Adnan parked the car and got all the things out of it. Have you gone back to that location to see if the car is still there?
I was doing a commute. I made an effort, yeah, out of my way to see if it was still there. Yeah, well, yeah.
When was the last time that you went out of your way to see if the car was still there?
4 days ago, so 24th.
When you went back to the location where he left it that night,
yes.
Is the car still there?
Yes.
Before, during the interview prior to turning the tape on, you stated to Detective McGilvery and myself that you'd be willing to take us out and show us where the vehicle's parked.
No problem.
Are you still willing to do that?
Yes, sir.
Also, you can show us where initially that day you met up with him on Edmondson Avenue.
It's only 4 blocks down from where the car is.
In this next bit, Jay and Jen are talking about the other people that they've told about the crime. Note that they both say they haven't told anybody about the crime, only the two of them know. And then go on to list a collective 5 different people who they have allegedly told about the murder.
I guess as far as I know, as far as Adnan knows, the only person that knows anything about this is Jay.
Have you or Jay ever made any anonymous phone calls to the police department about Haley's
death? No. Thought about it, but never did. Because I have friends that work at Woodlawn Precinct. And then I know a couple of detectives there and a couple of officers, but I didn't. I told, what I did do is probably about 2 weeks after the information, I told my friend Nicole that I knew about this girl was killed.
And what did you tell Nicole?
I told Nicole that I knew this girl, Hey. I know this girl, Hey, that got strangled, and I know who did it. At that point, I don't think I had told her who did it yet. I just told her that I knew this girl that had been killed. I needed to, let somebody know, because maybe, you know, I was like, what do you think I should do? You know, what do you think I should do? I was like, Jay told me that I didn't say that Adnan. I just said Jay told me about this girl being killed, being strangled. She asked me a couple of questions, I'm sure. I couldn't tell you what questions she was asked me. It was outside of 7-Eleven parking lot on Frederick Road that I told her this.
Did you tell anybody else?
No, not except for Christy last night.
Okay. You indicated in prior conversations that it, individual by the name of Joshua.
Yeah, Josh. His name's Josh. Because the day that they found her body, the day that, what I had heard was that they found a foot in Leakin Park somebody had found a foot sticking up out of the ground in Lincoln Park. I didn't even think that it was his body at all. I mean, dead bodies always get dumped in Lincoln Park. Like, I hear about it all the time. So I happened to mention something to Nicole. We were in the car. We were in her car, and Josh was in the car. Josh is Nicole's boyfriend. And I said to Nicole, I said, yo, did you hear anything about that body? And she was like, yeah, my mom found a body at the gate this morning and she unlocked it. My mom works at Carrie Murray. It's in Lincoln Park. And I said to Nicole, I was like, what else? I was like, and I don't know whether Nicole or whether Josh had mentioned that the body was strangled. And I was like, if it was strangled, I was like, I bet you it was her body. I bet you they found hay. And that's all I said. So I guess at that point, then Josh and his friend Mark, who was in the car as well, then also.
Other than telling Jen that night, January the 13th, you recall where that conversation took place?
I think we were in a car somewhere out in the middle of the ground.
Other than telling her that night, have you told anyone else? Told your girlfriend, your mother?
No, I didn't tell my girlfriend, my mom. I think I might have told my friend Chris.
Did he kill her?
I think he's the only other person I told.
Other than you being with Adnan that night, do you know of any other persons that Adnan has confided in to, or bragged to that killed Haley?
No, but I'd imagine it has to be somebody else. Maybe Tyad. I think he might have said something to him. I don't think he told Tyad that he killed Haley. I mean, he told Tyad that he killed someone.
In this next section, just listen to the different responses about how Jay got drug into this. These aren't factual things, so this isn't really contradictory. It's more about their opinions on the matter. But it is interesting to hear their two descriptions of how this happened. We hear Jen really illustrating her loyalty to Jay, and Jay kind of muttering that he's the criminal element of Woodlawn. This perceived status is how he believes he got drug into this.
In your opinion, Jay wasn't alone when the body was buried.
In my opinion, no. In my understanding,
but he's throwing away all of his clothes and he's wiping fingerprints off with shovels and things of that nature.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, it wasn't until today that I thought, I don't think that Jay would lie to me, first of all. And I don't know. Unless Adnan paid Jay a good sum of money, I really don't see Jay helping me.
I wonder why I didn't tell him. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but why would Adnan go to a casual acquaintance like Jay and say, I just killed a girl. I don't want you to help me bury her.
I guess because Jay has the kind of reputation of, one, being a loyal person. So, if Adnan, I guess, felt that he could confide in Jay. And Adnan was, I think Adnan and Jay's girlfriend are pretty close. They're pretty close friends. They would hang out, maybe. I don't really know because I didn't hang out with them that much. I hung out with Jay. I don't like his girlfriend very much. We don't get along with her all the time.
Is there anything else said during that conversation?
He told me that he knew somebody. I used to be involved in a lot of illegal activity, and people on the west side, the gist of what he told me was that he knew the west side hitman. So, I wouldn't call it a threat, but he would let me know.
In a roundabout way that, what, if you said something to the police that...
Yeah, because I told him, if they come to me, I ain't going to... fuck around and, they were just going to tell him what the gig is. He's like, you know who I know. That's all he said.
Jay, why would Adnan call you?
The criminal element would not.
Is that a real or a perceived reputation? I
quote, perceived is like how the student body sees. You know, I mean, teachers who really know me know that I'm not like that, but, you know, get certain reputation kind of sticks with me.
Because of the contacts you have with helping him get his marijuana, he thinks that you're in that element that
would
be willing to assist him in disposing of the body?
I would guess so. That I would know someone or would know where or something. But.
And we're going to end with this final section, because I think that it's important for us to really have a grasp as we wrap this thing up about where the information comes from. If it's so critically important and so meaningful that Jay and Jen are telling the same story, even if they are, I think we should all be really thinking about the fact that if what Jen is saying is just what Jay told her, then why would it be corroborating for her then to say the same story, even if she was able to do so?
Have you told anyone about this incident?
I did. That night I told my friend Jen, just so if anything ever did happen to me.
Who did you tell?
Jen Pusateri.
All I heard about this event was from an individual named Jay. Jay said to me that he, from what I understood that Jay told me, was that Adnan did this in Best Buy parking lot, which is the Best Buy in Woodlawn, over in security. And then this is like after we had left the mall parking lot. Then Jay mentioned to me that he knew where Adnan dumped the shovel or shovels. I don't know how many there were, but he mentioned to me that he knew that where Adnan put the shovels.
Then what happened?
I drive myself home, and on the way home, he's like, stop here, stop behind.
He gets in the car with you?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm driving myself home, and on the way home, he's like, stop here. We stopped at Westview, and one of the dumpsters behind Westview, we threw all the stuff in.
He was like, take me back to Westview Mall parking lot. I pulled back to Westview Mall parking lot, and we pulled in the back. Jay got out the car and walked over towards the dumpsters. As Jay was walking over the car to, you know, Jay left the car to go over to the dumpsters. He told me just to sit and watch and see if, you know, watch to see if there's mall security, you know, check to see what's going on, keep a lookout. So that's what I was doing. I was sitting there watching that.
During your conversation with Ms. Pusateri, what exactly did you tell her?
I didn't give her a whole lot of detail. I just told her that Adnan killed Hay and about how he popped the trunk and showed his body and shit.
I went and saw Jay later, sometime the next day on the 14th. I saw Jay, and he asked me to take him. I remember it was raining this day. He asked me to take him to F&M parking lot, or F&M. He had to go to F&M. And I drove him to the back of F&M, got out of the car, took his boots and his clothes that he had on that night, and put everything in the dumpster. And the only other thing I know, the only other thing that Jay told me was, I was like, how is this going down? What is going on? He told me that he was talking to Adnan a couple days before any of this happened. And from what I understand, he was talking to Adnan a couple days before any of this happened. And Adnan asked Jay if he knew anywhere to put a body up. And Jay told Adnan and told me that he said, no, he wouldn't know nowhere to put a body like that. Jay also told me that Adnan asked him to help bury the body. And Jay told me that he did not help Adnan bury the body. That's what Jay told me.
Okay, so now you've heard all of these things together. For some of you, I'm sure this was riveting and super interesting. For some of you, I'm sure you were bored. And for others, I'm sure you're just absolutely sick of hearing about this case. But it is very, very important to me that if we're talking about the final word on this, that we make sure all the facts are accurate. Now, you just heard it. Now, you can decide for yourself what you think. Is the biggest problem, was the biggest problem at trial for Adnan Syed, Jay's first interview and Jen's interview and how well they corroborate each other, how they fit together, and do you believe that they created a basic story? Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. All music for the show is created and composed by Shane Yoder at PutThemInASong.com. The font you see on all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com designed, created, manages, and maintains our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Erica Cantor, Melissa Cardenas, Kaywood Yomnick, and Danielle Rohr. And as always, thank you to all of you for your engagement and your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can do that in a number of ways. The number one way for you to support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. If you join our Patreon, not only will you be financially supporting our work, but you'll also get something for your pledge. For just $5 per month, you'll get all episodes ad-free and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups that include an hour-long pre-show chat exclusive to our patrons. Other levels will get you a Truth and Justice Army t-shirt, Truth and Justice hats, and even the opportunity to co-host a Friday follow-up episode. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a case that you'd like us to consider covering, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod, and I can be found on social media @BobRuffTruth. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.